appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me. We saw a little football this weekend, huh?
Saw a little bit, yeah. So let's start with this. The I think everyone pretty much knew that something was up with Adisa Isaac. Mm-hmm. What was your take on that and also on Jesse Luchetta?
I didn't put two and two together at the time in the spring when James Franklin kind of casually dropped that Jesse Luchetta was going to be working out at defensive end. They're pretty quiet about injuries there, but it makes sense that they probably knew then that they were going to at least, you know, have an issue with Adisa, that he may, might miss the season. So that's a preparational move. Back then, Jesse's an intriguing prospect at that position because really athletic, can move around, and I'm curious to see how that pursuit is going to go. If he's going to be able to get that get off and get to quarterbacks and kind of disrupt and do the kind of things that they want him to do. I mean, playing maybe a little bit like they were going to use Micah Parsons last year if he had been available, some linebacker, and then at defensive end, because that's Adisa Isaac's a big loss when you consider the fact, too, that they lost three other defensive linemen, starting defensive linemen from last year, transferring or the draft or what have you. And then Shane Simmons, too, having moved on to, retiring from football, then going to Marshall. So there's a lot of upheaval, a lot of movement around. So they're trying to, with moving Jesse and then some of the other moves they're going to make, I think they're just trying to get as many bodies at that position, at that rush end position as possible. But I think Isaac probably was really a guy they were banking on at least, last spring anyway.
Also in the spring, Marquise Wilson got a look on offense. Brent Pry says he'll be starting this preseason on defense. What was your thought on that?
That was a curious one because are they planning on playing him at two spots? Where do they really ultimately see him being? We saw him with Keaton Ellis a couple of years ago, impacted corner. And, I remember Brent Pry, Terry Smith always talked about Marquise's ability to get to the ball. That's something that they could use, maybe they could use on the offensive side of the ball too, if they feel like they need some more good hands there. I'm just curious about that secondary because there's so many players now, especially with Kobe King, excuse me, right?
Corner?
Kaelin King's the corner.
And Kobe's the linebacker.
Kobe's. So it just froze there for a second. With his emergence in the spring, and then Tariq Castro Fields coming back, and obviously Torrey Porter coming back, there's a lot there. You can shift Keaton Ellis, but he can play around. He could move Marquise Wilson around. I'd like to see Marquise, land really solidly at a position because he was a player I really liked as a freshman 2 years ago. So, the thing is, I don't see them playing a two-way guy like that necessarily. If you're going to share snaps, that sort of thing. If you're going to, if you're installing a new offense, you're going to want the receiver on offense, I think, for the most of the time. So that'll be interesting to see in how they incorporate him. There's a lot of players back there in that secondary. There's just an awful lot in the secondary.
You were just testing me, by the way.
I froze the King. I learned those better. So
it's okay. I'm the one that needs to know it. It's all right. Yeah. In the end, what did you think when? Look, there's always preseason optimism. There always is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I found that when I talked to the players. Like, it was deep-seated. What did you think?
It wasn't, I think, and I was not at Big Ten Media Day, but in following it and talking to some of the players Saturday, like John Dotson, who was there, I asked him about that, and I said, you really put yourself out there at Big Ten Media Day saying, it was in Indy at the Lucas Oil Stadium. He said, we want to come back here. It reminded me a little bit of, I'm going to go way back to 2005 when Michael Robinson was at the Big Ten Media Days, and he was, you know, he was a little turned off, and I think he found it very off-putting that nobody really even was that interested in talking to him or can, you know, Penn State was clearly a second thought. And obviously, you know, coming out of the 2004-7 season, you know, we're kind of rightfully so, and he took offense to that, and I think that supercharged him a little bit. And I think these guys probably did the same thing. You know, it happened the same way for them. Again, like you said, there's always going to be optimism. There's, you know, and there's always questions too. But they seem to be in a much better place. Then I'm not going to say like, you know, like this time last year, but the corollary of going into the 2020 season, even absent the COVID restrictions and what were they were limited to doing, they still had a lot of issues because of the way they were unable to practice and the extra limitations that they kind of put on themselves. With regard to training and separation, and I see them being free from that. You know, being at practice Saturday was my first time there in like 2 years, and it was rather eye-opening me to see that again. But it looked like for them, they were already ensconced in the normality of it. I think, which is good. They don't seem to be saying anymore, well, last year we couldn't do these things. They seem to be over that, and I think that's an important step to have made.
It's interesting about 2005. You know, obviously, as you know, I get to go see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving down to go speak someplace, and Jack Ham calls me up. So we're talking on the phone for like 45 minutes, whatever, and Jack had gone to practice, and Jack said, you know, how many wins do you think they can get? This is 2005. And I said, boy, now, you know, they're coming off a 4-7 and a 3-9, you know? And I said, geez, I think they could be double digit good. And he says, Jack says, yeah, I think they could win 11 games. I said, you know, I agree with you. Okay. So now I go to speak to the group. So the question comes up, hey, how many wins do you think they'll get? And this is the last time I ever did this. The last time. I said, you know, I said they could get 11 wins, and of course they looked at me like I was insane.
Yeah.
And of course they what'd they go 11-1, something like that.
Yeah, and that was an 11 win, or that was an 11 game regular season too, wasn't it? They were 10-1, right?
Yeah, 10-1.
The Orange Bowl.
And it's also I will never do that again.
Of course.
They wanted to cart me off.
On their shoulders, or in a taxi, you know,
it was
an institution.
No, it was more of an institutional cart off. It was not.
Like I said, I remember Michael Robinson very clearly discussing that, and I mean, get the same sense from these guys, but as a group, I did kind of feel that. I did kind of feel that they. Really, that they're still sour tasting it. I get that specifically from John Dotson, Jaquan Brisker, and Tre Castro-Fields. And those are the three guys who tell the story of they had a conversation, after the last season, saying that didn't sit well with them, and we're going to come back. And they still seem to really carry that with them too.
What's the gauge you get on Sean Clifford?
He was really interesting. He was very positive, smiling, laughing. And he had an edge to him as well. I asked him about going to the Manning Passing Academy this summer. And he said, I went down there to compete. I went down there, I wanted to prove that I could compete with the best quarterbacks in the country, the other college guys who were there. He puts himself into that position. And he discusses last season. It's very much a past tense discussion, but he's not afraid to confront it, to recognize it. As not being his best year at all. And he's also not afraid to change the subject from it. Like, the way he discusses it is, I did not have a great year. I learned from that. I study it, and I study other elements of quarterback play, too. And now I'm applying it. He said a couple weeks ago he called Mason Rudolph about playing for Mike Yersich. Mason Rudolph played...
Right.
for Mike Huchesch at Oklahoma State, and he wanted to pick his brain. And somebody asked him, you know, how'd you get Mason Rudolph's phone number? And Chud just said, you know, it's like I know a guy who knows a guy kind of thing.
Right.
He's, you know, he's not out there shying away from anything. He's putting himself in the world of elite college quarterbacks. And he's trying to do that in a bunch of different ways. And that was really interesting to me that he saw, not that he sought out Mason Rudolph, but that he, you know, the guy who knows a guy who knows a guy can get you Mason Rudolph's phone number, that sort of thing. And he wants to live there. He wants to live in that world. So, that, you know, I think he's doing everything in his power to do that.
Just the impression from the coordinator, especially Mike Yurcich. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Mike's now had a couple of opportunities to talk with. He's an impressive guy to talk to. You feel like you're talking to a guy that on his topic is a genius. But what did you think of what some of the things he had to say?
He engaged in a bit of coach speak, which I understand and I get. And he doesn't really bring up players necessarily. He doesn't go out of his way to do that.
That
might just be a stylistic thing, but he will answer questions about guys. The line that he used, he was asked specifically about the wide receivers, and then the line he used was, they're not there yet. It was a very blunt answer, but it was part of a larger contextual answer of, you know, nobody's there yet. Nobody will ever be there yet. That sort of, ultimately, that coach thing where you can, you know, 1% better every day kind of thing. But if you were just to take that first line from it, it was very stark to me. He said, none of, you know, these receivers are not where we want them to be. Neither are the tight ends, offensive linemen, running backs, quarterbacks, everything like that. He doesn't shy away from being, it's not a negativity, I would say, but it's a pushing. And I think a couple of guys have mentioned how they, you know, the players say how they call them juice. And I hadn't seen them on the field. It was a bunch of coaches that I had not seen on the field, you know, because guys like, John Scott, even going back, you know, 2 years, John Scott, Anthony Poindexter.
Phil Troutwine.
Yeah, Phil Troutwine. He's another one. He's getting down in his stance kind of guy.
Ty Howell.
Taylor Stubblefield, you know, being, he's really energetic. And Mike was intense. You know, he moved around a lot. I would watch James Franklin go from kind of station to station. And his big thing seemed to be noise, which I hadn't. I think Mike Poorman, actually, from statecollege.com, pointed this out to me. I hadn't really considered it. This is really going to be their first true road game with fans and everything since they went to Ohio State.
Exactly.
In 2019, in November 2019. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go to Wisconsin. They're not playing a road game in a place, you know, it's going to have 35,000 people. If it's full and loud, it's going to be an enormous kind of game. And it's when you don't play road games, you know, or you play road games like you did last year, you can't prepare for that. Some of these guys have never been in those environments. You get out of that environment for you, you forget what it's like. So James Franklin was marching around just telling people to shout, yell. We're going to need to hear you, that sort of thing. Mike Yurcich was doing that. Really energetic. He was, you know, and him, John Scott, you know, John Scott was another one. People had to compare them like he's not Sean Spencer as a defensive line coach, personality-wise, not him.
Right.
So I watched him a little bit, you know, really high octane, a lot of movement, loud, you know, really pushing the guys. That was something I didn't necessarily expect because of everything. It was just what I had heard about him over the last year. So it was good to see these guys kind of in their natural element of doing what they do, instead of just kind of hearing about how they do these things.
Well, remember, they're going to have to do something. This is for the fans. I'm not telling you. Mm. I mean, you haven't had to do a silent count.
Yeah.
Right? You haven't had to do hand signals. Mm-hmm. Any of that stuff. You've been able to walk up to the line of scrimmage and kind of do things the way you want to. Because, I mean, yeah, I was sitting in the booth. We could hear it.
Right. We could, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we could hear everything everybody was doing on both sides of the ball. All the time. Now, it didn't help me at all, but I just
imagine. But again, that was something I hadn't really connected with me.
Yeah.
You know? But they're going to go into one of the loudest states to start the season in one of the loudest stadiums in the country. You've got to be ready for that.
Mark, it's always a fun conversation. I appreciate it and appreciate you very much.
Steve.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep, thanks.